Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. There's a statement here that's repeated twice, and I'm taking the title for the message from verse 10 and verse 13. Look at verse 10. My beloved spake, and this is our beloved Savior. He speaks, and when he speaks, where the word of the king is, there's power. My beloved Savior spake and said unto me, rise up. Rise up, my love, talking about the bride of Christ, the shepherd and the bride, the bridegroom and the bride. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away with me. Come away with me to my house, to my place. And again, he says in the last part of verse 13, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. I love what he says in verse 16. We'll look at this next week. Someone said this is the happiest verse in all the Word. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feeds among the lilies. My beloved is mine and I am his. I'm his. I'm all his. Take me, I'm yours. So I'm going to use that for a title. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. This is the effectual, irresistible call of God, isn't it? When he says, rise up, that's what happens. You hath thee quickened who were dead. When he says, rise up, my fair one, we are made beautiful in his righteousness. And when he says, come away with me, we'll come. This is that sweet and precious call of the gospel to the Lord's elect. It's a personal call. He knows his sheep by name, we read a moment ago. It's a powerful call and most effectual. When he calls, we answer. His sheep will answer. His sheep hear his voice. They love his voice. And the sheep do follow the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. Now you think of that. It's just an amazing, the amazing love of God that he would come to where we are, take our humanity to himself, take our sin upon himself, bearing our sin in his own body, and dying under the wrath and judgment of God for us. That's love, isn't it? Love, amazing love. By his grace, believers continue in this love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're never weary of hearing about our beloved Lord, our beloved Savior, Redeemer. Being, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, we are accepted in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what it says in Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 4, I found him whom my soul loveth, and I held him and would not let him go. I've got a death grip by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and will not let him go. Like Jacob of old, you remember, wrestled. The angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob and Jacob wrestled. Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. The believer in Christ by God-given faith has laid hold on the Lord Jesus Christ, laid hold of eternal life. And the believer is determined to continue in the faith, to die in the faith, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes back for us. You remember the Word of God describes those believers in Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Now, Song of Solomon chapter 2, look at verse 8. The voice of my beloved, the voice of my beloved. It doesn't say period, exclamation mark. You see that? I just now noticed that. I've read this all day today. First time I've seen it. The voice of my beloved. Exclamation mark. Boy, I want to hear the voice of my beloved. How do we hear the voice of the beloved, our beloved? Well, we hear his voice in the word, don't we? Behold, he cometh. He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like the young deer, quickly, swiftly coming to our aid. Believers are eager to hear the voice of our beloved Lord. His word, his truth, his gospel. I was reading one of the Psalms the other day. It said, his word runneth swiftly. His word runneth swiftly. We are told to be swift to hear and slow to speak. The voice of my beloved. The church and believers, the church of the firstborn and believers redeemed by the blood of Christ, readily recognize the voice of the Lord because he's given us ears to hear. As he speaks to us through his word, through the preaching of the gospel, by the power of God the Holy Spirit, we hear his voice, we hear his word. He's tuned our ear, he's given us life, and therefore we do follow him. We do follow the voice of our good shepherd. Our good shepherd. We know the voice of a stranger too. We won't follow a strange voice. Those who say that salvation depends upon you, that's a strange voice. We don't follow that. We follow the voice of the good shepherd who says that salvation is of the Lord. It says there, behold, he cometh. He cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. Again, this is symbolic language. He cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills like a young deer, swiftly and quickly moving toward his love, toward his church. Believers declare to others to hear the voice of the Lord, but we can't make them hear. We tell others to hear the voice of the Lord, but we can't make them hear. Behold, we say the Lord is coming back. Be ready to meet the Lord in the hour ye think not. The Son of Man cometh. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and he shall say, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, and will be caught up to meet the Lord, ever to be with the Lord. He said, comfort one another with these words. Old Testament saints look forward to the first coming of the Lord. Simeon was in the temple waiting for the consolation of the Lord. Remember Luke chapter 2, waiting for the Messiah. And the Lord promised him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And when they brought the 40-day-old baby there in the temple, when they brought that babe to do after the custom of the law, Simeon picked up the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, looked in his face at that little baby and said, Lord, I'm ready to die. My eyes have seen thy salvation. That's when a person's ready to die, when they've seen the Lord, when they've seen the Savior, who's altogether lovely. We know Abraham rejoiced to see his day and was glad. Our Lord said, if you had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote about me. And then, in the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus Christ did come. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. John identified him as, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. He took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore that burden to Calvary and suffered there alone. Forsaken of his disciples, forsaken of his apostles, and even forsaken of God. Remember he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Made sin for us. God can't look upon sin. The Lord Jesus came as our substitute. He came cheerfully with great delight to sacrifice himself for us. It says there in John 10, what we read a moment ago, our Lord said, no man takes my life from me. Remember? I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly, voluntarily laid down his life for us, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice, not of blood of bulls and goats, by the sacrifice of himself. And he came to take our sin away because he loved us. He loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. He came with great speed, as it says in verse 9, like a young deer, just running and leaping and quickly and swiftly, leaping over mountains of difficulty that stood in the way of our salvation. What were the mountains of difficulty that stood in the way of our salvation? How about the mountain of sin? Sin, very hard to put away. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. The Lord Jesus Christ took away that mountain of sin, made atonement for that mountain of sin. Leaping over the mountains of difficulty that stood in the way of our salvation. Sin, how about the broken law of God? It had to be honored, had to be satisfied. Well, he's redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. God defended justice had to be satisfied. In every precept and every penalty, the Lord Jesus Christ did that for us. Didn't he magnify the law of God and made it honorable? Isaiah 42, that he might be a just God and Savior. Isaiah 45, that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in him. The Lord Jesus Christ coming, leaping, skipping over the hills and mountains of difficulty. And then he comes to his elect. Nothing could prevent him from coming to ransom his bride, to accomplish her deliverance. And then he comes to his elect personally. He comes with great power. He comes with great compassion. He comes with so great salvation. When the elect of God hear the word of God, when it's blessed of God, we hear it not as it is the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God that effectually works in God's people. We hear the word, not in word only, but in power, don't we? Power of God, the Holy Spirit. That's how God speaks to his word, through his word, to his people, from his word. Our Lord Jesus Christ overcomes a mountain of sin in us, the hills of unbelief within us, and causes us to love and trust and to submit to him. We only love him because he first loved us. He overcame all our sin, not only that mountain of sin that all of God's elect have committed against him, but he come to us personally in that personal mountain of sin. And he overcomes our unbelief, our rebellion, and he gives us love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, he cometh. He's on his way. He's on his way. Remember Revelation chapter 1. Behold, he cometh. He cometh. He's coming back for us, isn't he? Look at verse 9. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 9. My beloved is like this. What's he like? Well, he's like this. He's like this young deer that moves swiftly and quickly toward his elect, toward his bride, toward his love. And behold, he standeth behind our wall. Notice it's our wall. And he looketh forth at the windows, showing himself or flourishing himself through the lattice. Through the lattice. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. Our sin nature, our depraved flesh, is like a thick wall of separation. You remember Isaiah 59 said, our sins have separated us from God, between you and your God. But even that wall of sin doesn't hinder the Lord from coming to us quickly and swiftly in mercy, in grace, in love, in our time of need. When he comes to us, it's a time of love that God has determined from all eternity to cross our path with the gospel and quicken us with his word. Thank God he does not leave us in despair and in doubt. When we put up a wall of resistance, he breaks through. He breaks down that wall, showing himself through the windows of his word and through the lattice of his gospel. Showing himself, as the marginal reading says, flourishing. Flourishing. He's the flourishing Savior. He's the flourishing Redeemer. You see that on the word showing himself? Flourishing. Everything he does, he causes it to flourish. Each glimpse we get of Christ is heartwarming. Every slightest view of Christ cheers the fainting heart. The smallest manifestation of his grace causes us to rejoice in him. When he's gracious to us, when he reveals himself unto us, he's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Remember those two men that walked on the road to Emmaus, and the risen Lord drew near to them? And after the Lord preached the gospel to them, you remember what they said one to another? Didn't our heart burn within us when the Lord opened the word of truth unto us? And that's what happens when the gospel is preached. But even in our views of him are but partial and imperfect, for now we see through a glass dimly, darkly, don't we? But one day very soon we'll see him face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face to see and know. Remember from Revelation 22, this should be familiar to you. There shall be no more sea, no more curse, no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. But the throne of the Lord God and of the Lamb and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face to see and know. But now we see through a glass darkly, don't we? Apostle Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 13. But then he says, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. Face to face with Christ my Savior, to behold his lovely face. Boy, that'd be glory for me. How about you? To see him face to face. That's what happens when we die, when a believer dies, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Now look at verse 10. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. My beloved, he spake and said, rise up, my love. Rise up, my fair one. Rise up and come away. Come away. He says that again down here in the last part of verse 13. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now, that's what happens when he quickens us in regenerating grace. You hath he quickened who were dead. But also in that resurrection morning, he's going to say the same thing. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. We're going to have a new body like unto his glorious body to enjoy him forever and ever and ever. My beloved spake unto me, and he said, this is that personal, powerful, irresistible call of his grace in the gospel when he quickens us with the word of truth. With that incorruptible seed of the word of truth being begotten of God. What grace to us that the Lord of glory was called us to himself in such a tender, merciful, loving way. He says, everyone that's laboring and heavy laden, come unto me. He said, I'll give you rest. He calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. My beloved Savior, my beloved Redeemer, he says to his church, come here. Come here, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Christ's love for his church is beyond what words can fully express. Aren't they his love to us? How do you express that infinite, eternal love to those who are so unlovely? I mean, Christ died for the ungodly in due time when we were yet without strength. Christ died for the ungodly. The Apostle Paul penned these words by inspiration of God, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height of his love, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That's tremendous, isn't it? He loved the church and gave himself for it. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. And he sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. I don't care too much for that song that they sing a lot of times. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love him. Now, we do love him, but not like we should. But I do like that song that sings about how much he loves us. I want to sing about how much he loves us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he gave himself for our sin. Notice carefully the description the Lord gives of his church. My love, my fair one. Look right across the page in chapter 4, verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in you. No sin. No blemish. He presents us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. We are perfect through his beauty, through his righteousness. The Lord has a most tender and affectionate regard for her, his bride, to show what confidence we should, that should teach us what confidence we should have in him. For his love toward his elect never changes. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. And Paul, when he talks about that love of God in Romans chapter 8, he describes and he mentions a lot of things. Height or depth or any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 11, 12, and 13. For lo, he said, the winter is past. We're going through that right now, aren't we? Naturally speaking, the winter's about gone, although it's still hanging on, isn't it? Cold out there tonight. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. Springtime's coming. The time of singing of the birds. I walked out on the back porch right before we came over this evening, and I could hear the birds singing. I could hear the birds out there singing. And they always do that in the spring, don't they? They're glad to see the springtime come. And the voice of the turtle dove, is heard in our land. And the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vine with the tender grapes. The tender grape give a good smell. And then again he says, arise, my love, my fair one, come away. You see the picture he paints there of the cold, hard, dark winter being passing away and the coming of the spring and the budding of the flowers and the trees. And it's life coming forth. That's what happens when God regenerates us and makes us new creatures in Christ. The winter is past. And life has come. Everything we see now, flowers do bloom, the flowers of his grace. The time of singing, we sing of his love to us. Before conversion, before regeneration, it's all darkness, lifeless, cold, barren, fruitless, like the cold, long, dreary winter nights. By nature, we're without God, without Christ, and without hope. Only by the grace of God is the winter past, and the rain and storm clouds are gone because our sin's been put away and the Lord has made us new creatures in Christ. He's imputed to us an everlasting righteousness that he has established for us. Look at verse 12. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing, we sing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin. We sing that new song of redemption, how he washed us from our sin in his own blood. the voice of a turtle dove is heard in the land. In the salvation of a sinner, God's grace causes life to bud forth like the spring season. Who but Christ can make spring to bud forth as we see right now? How does that happen? It happens because God brings it to pass. Flowers begin to bloom and the trees begin to bud. We see the flowers of His love. They send forth the sweet fragrance of the salvation of the Lord. The time of the singing of the birds, He puts a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. You remember Psalm 40, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He tunes us up. He makes us new creatures in Christ. The voice of a turtle dove is heard in the land. The dove or the turtle dove or the dove is a symbol, an emblem of what? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, what we are. Of righteousness, what we need. Of judgment, what we deserve. And what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. The dove, the bird, the dove has a unique sound unlike any other bird. Do you know of another bird that sounds like a dove? When that dove is mourning, mourning. They have a distinct sound, don't they? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has a distinct, unique sound. His sheep hear it. He's tuned our ears to hear that. We hear the sound of His glory alone, His blood alone, His grace alone that redeems us. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. The flowers appear in the earth, verse 12, the flower of His grace, the singing of the gospel. He's tuned our heart to sing His praises. And the Holy Spirit has revealed the Lord Jesus Christ unto us. In closing, verse 13. The fig tree puts forth her green figs. In the springtime, when God causes the tree to bloom and to set on fruit. And the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. A good smell. And then He says, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Believers are called, remember from Isaiah 63, believers are called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The fig tree put forth the green figs. This is not like the fig leaf of Adam's hiding in the garden. It's the green fig of His sovereign grace, the fruit of His salvation. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He causes that fruit of His Spirit to bloom in our heart, the Spirit of love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. The vine with tender grapes give a good smell. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine. We are the branches. Without Him, we can do nothing. That fig tree and the figs are not going to put out any fruit in and of itself. Has to be vitally connected to the tree, the vine. And that's what believers are, vitally joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only as we're vitally connected to the true vine do we have capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, and peace. That is what is satisfying unto God. It's the fruit of His Spirit. What is the fruit of our sin? It's nothing but stink. Nothing but stink. But the fruit of His grace is a sweet smell, even unto God. It's a sweet smelling savor unto God. Without Christ, we are clouds without water, trees without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You remember from Jude chapter 1? I had to look that up. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. The book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 12. You see, without Christ, it's impossible to please God. We must have the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, no salvation. Without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's impossible to please God. And then the Lord says again to us, just in case you missed it, He says again, arise, my love. This is the voice of the bridegroom saying to the bride, my love, my fair one, come with me. Come with me. Come home with me. What a blessing to meditate upon. The Lord has chosen us unto salvation from the beginning. He took upon Himself our humanity, died under the judgment of our sin to redeem us. He suffered the just for the unjust that He might bring us unto God. You remember we studied in Hebrews 2:9 about the captain of our salvation is doing what? Bringing many sons unto glory. He calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He commands the light to shine, and then He makes us new creatures in Christ. The voice of my beloved, behold, He cometh. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.